afternoon. It's almost 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station, where it's currently 35 degrees, and the Weather Service has issued a special weather statement, actually, for the potential for snow and blowing snow beginning around noon, so starting about now, and continuing through the afternoon hours. Snow and blowing snow could severely reduce visibilities and create difficult travel conditions. So, have that in mind as you travel around today here in Kodiak. Coming up any second now, our update from the Emergency Operations Center.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in again today, January 28th, 2021. My name is Mike Twenge, the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Director. The Emergency Services Council met again this morning and discussed our recent week's COVID activity. The ESC is keeping the community risk level at yellow and continuing the mask mandate. The wearing of masks is one prevention measure that has been effective in reducing the number of COVID cases, and we want this to continue. The number of COVID cases reported both locally and statewide continues to remain low compared to previous weeks. And again, this is a credit to the efforts made by all, and we are keeping this virus under control. Emergency Operations Center announced 0 cases yesterday and 4 cases today. Remember when the EOC was announcing 53 to 63 cases per day? Well, we've come a long way. But this is also time to reflect on how easy it is to reverse course. So let's keep with the mitigation measures that got us here. We have had 1,033 total cases in Kodiak compared to 53,877 total cases statewide. Kodiak has unfortunately experienced 5 deaths compared to the state's 260 deaths. Right now, we have no hospitalizations in Kodiak. The community risk level remains in yellow, so keep your social circles small, wear a mask in public, and no gatherings larger than 20 people without the ability to social distance. In-store capacity remains at 50%. All Kodiak Island Borough schools are open, and the kids are excited to return to in-person learning. A recent release announced a positive case in the high school and 2 positive cases in the middle school. But rest assured, the district has established and exercised protocols in place. Both schools have undergone deep cleaning and are reopened to all but those impacted individuals today. We hope those students recover quickly. The airport greeters continue to meet arriving passengers, reminding them of our local mask mandate, travel protocols, and testing options available to them. Canada provides COVID testing at the airport. Kodiak Harbor is staying with their commitment to protect our community by informing vessels of our quarantine requirements, and currently the Harbor Master has issued 203 harbor use agreements with 11 vessels under quarantine as of yesterday. Today, those 11 vessels have now left the harbor to fish, but when they return, they will still have time to serve under quarantine. All vessels must quarantine unless they have been at sea 14 days or longer without disembarking at any port or harbor. As I mentioned earlier, the state is experiencing lower case counts, but now we are hearing of the virulent Great Britain strain now here in Alaska. This strain is said to be more contagious than anything we have previously seen. So, travelers, be careful, and please take a few days at home upon returning and test before resuming public activities, including your first trip back to the store. This strain we definitely want to avoid for the benefit of everyone. We talk about our fragile economy because of the impact the virus has had on all businesses. whether it be capacity restrictions, employees catching the virus, lack of patrons, cost associated with testing, or expensive mitigation plans. But in order for our economy to recover, we need to control this virus. The mask mandate is still in effect and likely will remain for some time. So keep your distance and wash your hands with soap and warm water as often as practical. But also gaining momentum here on the island is the availability of the coronavirus vaccine. Healthcare providers are taking appointments and administering the vaccine. Safeway, KCHC, Canna, and KIACC are all actively engaged. Providence Hospital is supporting our local vaccine distribution. Dr. Kohler will again be offering the drive-up mass vaccination clinic at the AAA Transfer and Storage Facility on Wednesday, February 3rd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and again on Saturday, February 6th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the same location. Be sure to contact their office at 486-6188 or visit their website, kiacc.com, if you have any questions. And registration is still open for the Kodiak Community COVID-19 Vaccination Clinic. This walk-in clinic is by appointment only for Alaskans 65 and older and any healthcare workers that have not yet received their first dose. The Kodiak Community Clinic will be held this Friday tomorrow, January 29th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Harbor Master parking lot. These vaccinations are free. Pfizer vaccine will be offered, and a second clinic will be scheduled for February 19th. To register for an appointment, visit the covidvax.alaska.gov website. For assistance with scheduling an appointment, leave a message at 907-646-3322 or call the Kodiak Senior Center at 486-6181 for support. This is an opportunity to receive the vaccine administered by medical personnel right downtown this Friday. If appointments are still available Friday morning, we will be able to register you at the clinic site, so don't let registration become a deterrent. The clinic will be very obvious, as you will see the blue field hospital tent set up in the harbor parking lot. Parking is available at the site or across the street in the mall parking lot. And transportation is also available from CATS, Kodiak Area Transit System. For a ride, call 486-6181. The vaccine age eligibility is scheduled by the state of Alaska. And locally, the EOC has been discussing the ability to move to a lower age group ahead of the rest of the state should we complete the current tier group. We are aware there is great interest from the 50 and above age group, so stay tuned on that. And the ESC will meet again next week, and I will return next Thursday at noon for another community update. Until then, stay home if you are sick, and remember to keep love in your heart.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
COVID-19 first arrived on Kodiak in April, followed by a trickle of cases in June. The slow burn gradually intensified until a deluge of new cases followed the Thanksgiving holiday, brought active cases into the hundreds. Total cases since the start of the pandemic passed the 1,000 case milestone last week. Kodiak's COVID journey is far from over, but as KMXT's Dylan Simard found, there have been many lessons learned along the way.
While the pandemic hit those who contracted the virus the hardest, everyone felt its impacts. Record-shattering unemployment, drastic technological changes in the workplace, school closures, and high rates of psychological distress, to name a few. The world is forever changed by this moment in history, and so is Kodiak Island. Local leaders like Sarah Phillips of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce saw the struggles firsthand.
We've seen the community come together to support our business community. But of course, moving forward, we're not out of the woods yet. We have federal aid funding on the way. Our second round, a year ago, I could have never believed we were going to have any financial funding available through the government. And here we are hitting our second round and potentially even a third on the way with the Biden administration. The impact is throughout the U.S. It's obviously throughout our community. No one has been untouched by this.
Phillips can't remember a time that has so challenged business. She says perhaps no one can.
And I don't know that there's another single event that so dramatically in world history has impacted all businesses across the country before.
She also says that the pandemic has affirmed her belief in the lengths that Kodiak will go to in order to help its own.
One of the memories that I have in particular towards the beginning of the shutdown especially, but throughout the shutdown, but the one I'm thinking about in particular has actually been on Friends of Kodiak, how when all of our businesses knew they were going to be forced to close, all of our non-essential businesses, the community came together in such a resounding way to purchase gift certificates, to make purchases from those businesses who they knew their doors were going to be shut. The community in Kodiak, I have always said it, it's amazing how we can come together. And when someone is hurting, the community really goes above and beyond.
Schools are at the heart of the community. And although the Kodiak Island Borough School District has been fortunate compared to the rest of the country with fewer closures, students still had to adapt to a lot of changes. Larry Ledoux, the school superintendent, says that he is impressed by how both students and staff have weathered the storm.
Our schools are changed in many ways. Our staff is very professional, and you can see that professionalism tested when a crisis comes up. And our staff, I believe, our teachers, our aides, our custodians, our maintenance, our food service, our secretaries, they've stood the test. They're here, they're in harm's way, and they're taking care of kids. And I think that's phenomenal. I think we have an incredibly professional workforce in our education in Kodiak. I'm proud of them.
For Ledoux, one memory in particular stands out.
All I can say is watching the kids come into school for the first time when they've come and how happy they were, and watching teachers with literally tears in their eyes when they got to see their kids for the first time this year. I mean, it's, there are just so many things, you know, and, you know, I'm proud to be superintendent. I'm proud of my staff. I'm proud of our community.
Some have had to step up to the challenge on the behalf of the whole community. As Kodiak City Manager and head of the region's Emergency Operations Center, Mike Twenge has been the public face for the island's COVID-19 response. Some of the steps the city took early on to defend itself from the pandemic were unpopular. And while they didn't completely seal the island off from the virus, Twenge believes they helped to slow it down.
Yeah, we were very concerned at the beginning of the pandemic on how it would affect Kodiak. And, you know, I was naive to think that living on an island would protect us. But with the travel that we have here in Kodiak, that turned out to be not true. So we were doing all the mitigation measures we could come up with and following other guidance from CDC and other agencies that have been working on mitigation of the virus. And I thought we did a pretty good job in our community, and people were really taking it seriously.
But despite the hard work, Twenge said the virus still claimed 5 lives in Kodiak.
You know, I was hoping we would never reach 1,000 cases. But again, that was probably naive to think that way because of what the rest of the United States and the world has been going through for months and months. And the death rate, I mean, there is thousands of deaths a day at one point, so we're fortunate to keep our local death rate down. I mean, I'm sorry to even say that, but no death is, you know. We wanted to avoid deaths for sure, and unfortunately that's not realistic either.
And that's always been the problem for those on the front lines of fighting the pandemic, to anticipate what is realistic to expect. Kodiak's COVID journey has been full of unknowns. And as the second round of vaccinations begins, there are still no certainties, only hope that the community has reached a turning point. In Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
The city of Kodiak is in talks with Kodiak Electric Association to add electric vehicle charging stations downtown for Kodiak electric vehicle owners. These charging stations are part of the city's new focus on electric vehicles, including replacing its motor fleet with electric vehicles. At last weekend's planning session, the City Council discussed purchasing up to 3 electric vehicles to replace older ones this year with complete fleet replacement in the coming years.
He talked the other day about maybe seeing the school buses start transitioning to electric vehicles. And
that's City Manager Mike Tvenge, who hopes that the city can set an example of more sustainable, energy renewable Kodiak to residents.
He talked, you know, this could be another year away, to be honest with you, but it's still a goal. I think it's a responsible goal.
Electric vehicles could also help the city create a more predictable budget by avoiding fluctuations in fuel prices. The U.S. Coast Guard has scheduled a formal hearing in the sinking of the FB Scandies Rose. The hearing will begin Monday, February 22nd in Seattle and will proceed through March 5th. While the hearing will take place in person, abiding by Washington State COVID-19 protocols, it will also be live streamed each day beginning 7 a.m. Alaska time. Each session will be archived so the public can watch it at a later date as well. According to a Coast Guard press release, the hearing will focus on conditions influencing the Scandies Rose before and during the tragedy. This will include weather, icing, fisheries, the boat's condition, testimony from survivors, among other regulatory and boat organization conditions. Updates on the hearing will be posted to the Maritime Commons, a Coast Guard blog, and via Twitter with the hashtag Scandies Rose MBI. Again, that's Maritime Commons, which is a Coast Guard blog, or hashtag Scandies Rose MBI. If you would like to provide information, ask questions, and make comments related to the hearing, you can email the investigators at scandiesrosemb@uscg.mil. Details related to the live stream can also be found on kmxt.org. Sitka illustrator Michaela Goad was awarded one of the highest honors in children's literature this week. Goad, who is Tlingit, is the first indigenous person to win the Caldecott Medal for her work on We Are Water Protectors. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry has this report.
Earlier this week, Michaela Goad thought she was signing on to an ordinary Zoom call with her small publishing team. Instead, she was met with a group of new faces congratulating her on her win.
I was completely caught off guard and I didn't really even know what to say beyond just thank you like a million times.
The Caldecott Medal is awarded annually by the American Library Association to the artist of the most distinguished children's picture book.
It's kind of like the pinnacle for kids' books. They call it like the Oscars of kids' books. So it's a dream I think a lot of us have. And it was definitely a far-fetched dream, like maybe one day if I'm lucky.
The 15-person award committee chose We Are Water Protectors from more than 100 other children's books sent to them by publishing companies. Chair Anisha Jeffries says the book was chosen for its powerful message and its captivating illustrations.
You know, we're looking at the beautiful illustrations by Michaela. It just gave an overwhelming pictorial presentation throughout the book, and she was able to breathe so much life into the story.
The book urges activism to protect water and other natural resources. Author Carol Lindstrom was inspired by Indigenous-led movements like the 2016 demonstrations against the Dakota Access Pipeline. When Goad read the story, she knew immediately that she wanted to illustrate it.
Just growing up in Southeast Alaska, being Tlingit, like, people of the tides, water is a way of life here, and it is our life here in so many different ways. So that core theme really resonated.
Goad is a member of the K'iksedi clan of Sitka and the Tlingit and Haida Indian tribes of Alaska. She made national headlines as the first Indigenous person and the first BIPOC woman to win the award.
I think it's important to look at that and digest it and acknowledge and reflect on being the first in the award's 83-year history, while also just being excited for the future and just know that there have been a lot of big strides in the publishing industry in the last few years.
Goad also received attention late last year when her drawing of Alaskan Native leader Elizabeth Paratovich was featured on Google's Doodle of the Day. She says some of the most powerful recognition she's received is from Indigenous children and their parents. She hopes this book and the honor help elevate their voices.
To help Indigenous children feel seen and validated, and in adults, and to know that their voices and their stories are worthy, you know, of everyone lifting them up. We fight for those who cannot fight for themselves, the winged ones, the crawling ones, the four-legged, the two-legged, the plants, trees, rivers, lakes, the earth. We are all related.
Goad's next book is a collaboration with author Tasha Spillett Sumner called I Sing You Down from the Stars. It comes out in April. She's also working on a book set in Southeast Alaska that focuses on traditional food gathering and generational knowledge. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fish board meetings get pushed back to the fall. Unconfirmed members are making the calls. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute works to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. Learn more at alaskaseafood.org.
Board of Fisheries meetings focused on Southeast Alaska, Prince William Sound, and statewide shellfish have been postponed from this spring to the fall. The Fish Board voted on Monday for the delay due to COVID virus concerns. Board member John Jensen.
I'm just basing on the most logical assumption that this spring, anyway, is pretty much toast as far as how this COVID thing's going up and down, and I think it would be irresponsible to try to continue these meetings like we had planned.
The board focuses on regional issues every 3 years. The current lineup includes 79 proposals for Prince William Sound, 155 for Southeast, and 42 for statewide shellfish. The delay means back-to-back meetings for those regions this fall, possibly into next year, followed directly by meetings for Bristol Bay, the Alaska Peninsula, and the Arctic Yukon Kuskokwim regions. The shuffle could cost the Alaska Department of Fish and Game an extra unbudgeted $250,000. ADF&G Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang.
I'm supportive of trying to do this, but I just want you to know at the end of the day that there's going to be potentially some impact if we can't get that money through the legislature. And number two, there's going to be some impact to board meetings as a result of divisional support attending those board meetings.
Meanwhile, the status of unconfirmed Fish Board members is still being litigated. Governor Dunleavy insists his appointments can remain. But Representative Louise Stutes of Kodiak says not so fast.
Currently, we have four sitting members, new members, and one old member that have not been confirmed. And some of them just don't have the experience at this point, and they have the opportunity to make monumental decisions affecting people's livelihood.
Stutes has filed a bill that would allow board members to participate but not vote until they're confirmed in a joint session. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 28th day of January, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 9:21. It will set again at 5:25, giving us 8 hours and 8 minutes of precious daylight. That is a gain of 4 minutes and 15 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low was minus 16. Is that right? In 1989. I do not remember that. The record high was 47, set in 1930. And we're not going to get anywhere near either of those. 35 degrees right now. We're looking at snow coming up, mostly after 1 p.m. Areas of blowing snow. In fact, we got a special weather statement from the Weather Service warning us of the potential for snow and blowing snow this afternoon. The blowing snow could severely reduce visibilities and create difficult travel conditions this afternoon here in Kodiak. A storm will pass just east of Kodiak Island today with a band of snow and blowing snow set up on the backside of the low. confidence of is in the exact position of this remains low, but Kodiak City and areas to the south are most likely going to see the snow along the gusty along with gusty northwest winds to 35 miles per hour. So in addition to that, we're going to see snow likely this evening before 7 p.m., scattered snow showers after 7 p.m. As we said, areas of blowing snow, cloudy conditions overnight, a low of about 33, northwest wind to 40 miles per hour tonight, should decrease to 30 miles per hour after midnight, chance of precipitation about 70%, but whatever happens, something is going to happen tonight. They're saying we probably won't get any more than a half inch of snow, though. Scattered snow showers for tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 37. Northwest wind about 20 miles per hour, gusting as high as 30 tomorrow. Chance of precipitation 40%, and scattered snow showers for tomorrow night, the overnight low of 29. Mariners, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 994 millibar low 100 nautical miles southwest of Kodiak City will move to 165 nautical miles east of Kodiak City Friday morning. The low will then move off to 225 nautical miles southeast of Kodiak City Saturday morning. As a result, Kodiak's east side offshore, Marmot Island to Sitkanak, gale warning through tonight, west wind to 40 knots right now. North of Dangerous Cape, look for south wind to 25 knots, becoming west 35 knots this afternoon. Seas to 13 feet. For tonight, look for northwest wind to 40 knots, seas to 13 feet. And for Friday, look for northwest winds to 30 knots, seas to 13 feet. Friday night in the east side, northwest 35, seas to 14 feet. Over in the Shelikof on Kodiak's west side, small craft advisory through Friday. For today, north wind to 15 knots will increase to 30 knots this afternoon. Seas will build to 4 feet this afternoon. For tonight, northwest wind to 30 knots, diminishing to 20 knots after midnight, seas to 5 feet. For tomorrow in the Shelikof, northwest wind to 25 knots, seas to 4 feet. And Saturday through Sunday, northwest 25, seas to 7 feet in the Shelikof. Inside waters, Chiniak and Marmot Bays, gale warning through tonight in Chiniak Bay. Variable wind to 10 knots will become northwest and increase to 35 knots this afternoon. Seas building to 6 feet in Chiniak Bay this afternoon. Northwest 35 tonight, should diminish to 25 knots after midnight, seas to 5 feet. And for tomorrow, northwest wind to 25 knots, seas to 4 feet in Chiniak Bay. Up in Marmot Bay, gale warning through tonight, east wind to 15 knots will go to the northwest to 35 knots this afternoon, seas to 5 feet. For tomorrow, look for northwest wind to 25 knots and seas to 4 feet in Marmot Bay. The City Council will be holding a regular meeting tonight at 7:30 p.m. It will be held virtually for everyone's protection. There will be no in-person attendance. Public members are encouraged to tune in to KMXT 100.1 FM right here at 7:30. Meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. And for those who wish to request printed materials or have more questions, call the city clerk at 486-8636. The Borough Assembly is also having a work session at 6:30 tonight. That's happening via teleconference. For links, you want to go to the Kodiak Island Borough website. Also, as we just heard, the Kodiak Community COVID-19 Vaccine Clinic registration is still open, and it's my understanding there are still slots available for Alaskans 65 and older and healthcare workers. To register for an appointment, you need to visit covidvax.alaska.gov. That's covidvax with an X, .alaska.gov.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.